undefeated. They're the only undefeated of the locals. They're the only team right now that looks like they're headed to a college football playoff.
So,
and they still have the tough games coming up, but still, Missouri's squeaking out wins. This is not very Missouri-like. You would admit, normally we talk about Missouri like, oh, bad luck Mizzou. They're living right now, two games in a row, specifically this last one against Vandy. Sometimes we just talk about with the Chiefs. You know what? Good team, special seasons.
College
you find
kickers,
ways
man.
To win. You find ways to win, and that's what the Missouri Tigers have done. They're still undefeated. Close one against Vandy. I don't think you should be feeling bad if you're a Tigers fan at all.
In the 100 years of Missouri football before this, Missouri loses that game on Saturday. Every time. 100% of the time, every time. They lose the overtime game that really shouldn't matter, but is absolutely going to burn their chances at a college football playoff spot down the road. It's the game they can't lose because the games are coming up, and they won it. So, like, I will give Missouri credit. I still think they have a problem where I don't think Drinkwitz is a plus in late game situations.
Yeah,
I think Drinkwitz, and this happens in college a lot, I think Drinkwitz is a way better recruiter than he is a coach. I actually don't think the nuts and bolts, the game planning part of it, I don't think that's Drinkwitz's strength. They just have more talent than most teams, so they can go out and they can win the game against Vandy because our players are better than your players, and we're going to win based on that. But I'm not going to fault Missouri. Wins are wins in the SEC. You got to overtime. I think in their history, they lose that game a lot, so kudos to them. Good win.
I hear in the coaching aspect, I don't even know if it's game planning. Is it just truly like clock management in late game decision making and how they before halftime or late in the game?
Yeah,
that's where it's been an issue for them. And if you're playing a better team, it's going to bite you in the ass at some point, but you just keep surviving and advancing, man. That's all that matters. If you're the Missouri Tigers, we know this is all about getting in the college football playoff. They got A&M, they got Oklahoma and Alabama still on the schedule. They don't have to win all those. We said you couldn't have afforded a loss to Vandy. Then you're in big trouble.
Then you have
trouble.
To win at least two of those. Now you only have to win one of those.
You still have the wiggle room if you're the Missouri Tigers. You still do. On the flip side, let's go to two of the other locals that both lost over the weekend.
It's hard because the closer game was Kansas, but that's the more embarrassing loss. I would say K-State, they ran into a problem where their redshirt freshman quarterback looked like a redshirt freshman quarterback. They played a half of football that was competitive, and they were in it, but they didn't come through in the big moments when they needed to get in the end zone. And then they just got boat raced in the second half by, I think, a better team. And Avery Johnson looked offbeat for the whole second half of that game. I still think they're going to win nine games. I still think K-State's a very good football team, but they let BYU kick their ass in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what BYU does the rest of the way. They're undefeated. They are better than people thought. It's also a really tough place to play. Out west, late game, altitude, unbelievable environment. I think that was really impressive to see for the first time in Big 12 play. I think for anybody that maybe didn't watch much BYU football prior to this season in Big 12 country, the question for K-State will be now with the way the rest of the Big 12 is shaping up. I mean, Utah looks like they're clearly the team to beat, and they don't even have a healthy quarterback. The rest of the Big 12, they're beating up on each other. It doesn't look all that impressive. Like if you were trying to make a case about the Big 12 being the third best conference or whatever, it's not been good so far to start the season, but it's not the end of it for Kansas State. I still think we go back to something all three of us discussed, Drew, a couple weeks ago as well. And I don't know, I'm sure you have on your podcast. I don't believe they're getting the most out of Avery Johnson. And I think I put a lot of that on the coaches. Yes, he made a lot of mistakes, but I think they're protecting him too much in terms of worrying about him getting hurt. Unleash the kid. They did it in the second half against Arizona and they saw good results, but they made way too many mistakes overall.
Just let his athleticism shine, you know?
I think BYU came in as one of the best teams in the country in terms of points allowed, and they did a good job of limiting Avery's running ability, but it's because they put him in minus situations. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd run the ball with DJ Giddens, or Avery Johnson would run it. They'd get 1 or 2 yards, and then they're behind the sticks. It's not even the second half to me. It's the first half. They're up 6-3. DJ Giddens fumbles the ball with a minute left. They return it for a touchdown. Very next drive, Avery Johnson throws a pick. They score a touchdown again. It's 17-6. Halftime is done. Avery Johnson throws another pick. They score. Then they punt on the punt return. Video game-like touchdown where the ball goes through the guy's hands. He runs all the way around the field. They score. In the matter of 5 game time minutes,
it's just unraveled.
It went
quickly
from 6-3 to 28-6. It was just a complete disaster for 5 minutes. And yeah, I mean, I don't think this is one of those games where you just say, you know what, we sucked on Oklahoma State. They can still go 10-2, make it to the Big 12 title
game this weekend,
and they go. Yeah, I think this is going to be a big one. And I wonder, I don't know if BYU was a trap game. That's one of the things I talked about in the podcast.
They're
maybe
a good team.
Maybe you're looking ahead. Maybe you're like, it's BYU. They're undefeated. I haven't really played anybody yet. And maybe it was a little bit of a trap game. They kind of got punched in the mouth. But they I'm looking for a response, I think, in this one against Oklahoma State. Play a little bit angry after that, the way that game ended.
Then let's go to the Jayhawks, who dropped another one. They've lost to Illinois. They've lost to UNLV. They've lost to West Virginia. We mentioned the repercussions of a loss at West Virginia. Long term, with the stadium, with everything that's going on there, and now it's reality.
Cancel the season. It's over.
This team, if they could have salvaged a win against West Virginia, I felt like maybe they could still be bowl eligible. I don't see the path for them to get there.
They're not even a bowl team now.
I don't believe they are, Cody. It's not. Ooh. Yeah, there's enough games, of course, to get there. But look at how they're playing. If you're trying to be overly optimistic, you would say, hey, they had a 90%+ win probability in the second half of all three losses. They were up 11 with 5 minutes to go. Yeah, that's actually scarier for me, as in they're not a well-coached team, that they have been in position to win multiple games. Illinois, who's turning out to be a better team, but yeah. UNLV, who knows? West Virginia, I don't think is all that good. And yet you had a lead with 5 minutes to go by 11 after a long weather delay, which actually some people are using as an excuse. No, both teams had the long delay. Should have won that game. Now you get a TCU team that they both stink. It's a coin flip game on Saturday at Arrowhead where the crowd is going to be empty. I will be one of the poor, brave souls there.
Oh, you're going?
Wait.
Mayo, what do you mean?
Part of the bachelor party. It's a must.
It's part of a bachelor party.
We have a suite. Which they might be giving us the rest
suite?
Of the they might just give us the rest of the season the suite.
You guys
bought
a suite?
We have a suite for the bachelor party, and at this point, I wonder if they'll just say, "Please take it the rest of the year." They might.
I'm going to take the optimist take. Is what you take from this is the Illinois loss is not nearly as bad as it was, and you were winning the football game. It's mistakes. It's the defense not being able to make a stop in the West Virginia game. It's the defense not being able to make a stop in the Illinois game and give your team more time to go back and score. It's the interceptions. Like, it's a lot of things that they haven't. It's an execution thing.
Right, but isn't that who they are now, right? I mean, Drew, like, this. Not trying to pick on you with the Cincinnati, but, like, you were kind of saying the same thing about Cincinnati. At some point, the results are the results, man. You just aren't a good football team, and that, to me, applies to Kansas as well.
But it's, to me, it's not, I don't think they're a great football team regardless, but it's an execution thing that's making them.
They should have been a bowl team.
They could easily be 4-0 in this, and the conversation is completely different. It's not, but I don't think them jumping over the hurdle isn't as far away as it seems, where you're just making mistakes in moments that matter most. Like, that's an execution thing. It's Jalen Daniels needing to not throw the ball 90 miles an hour every time and have some touch on the football. It's Jeff Grimes trying to figure out a way to make it easier on Jalen Daniels to make throws without making mistakes. It's the defense needing to get a stop when they need to and not just folding and not having a team go on an 8-minute drive and then score.
I agree they're not executing, but at some point, like, just bad teams don't execute. Mm-hmm. If it's a one-off game, sure.
Bad teams find a way to lose.
And that's what's happening. We've seen it in NFL teams, and that's what's happening with the Jayhawks. Jaden Daniels does not see the field. Jalen, I'm sorry. Now we talked about Jaden earlier. Now I'm getting confused again. Yeah. I wish it was Jaden Daniels. They would not be struggling the way they are.
I still think there comes a time where you just got to play the kid Marshall and forget Cole Ballard. You got to play Marshall. Jalen Daniels ain't cutting it for you. See what you got, and then go on from there. Because there's no point in playing Jalen Daniels what's the point of playing him if he's not
because there's
well?
So many people
it's
that
because
are
he's a senior and you want him to send him off well. Or whatever?
It's not about him individually. It's that there are so many people invested in the program, and even though we're talking about the season being done in the locker room with those that have financially committed to this season in a variety of ways, if you were to bench Jalen Daniels before October, that is throwing in the towel for the season, and that sends a terrible message as well. I think it's in the cards later in the year, if this continues, that we might be a week or two or three away from them doing that. I'm not surprised at all that they haven't bailed on Jalen Daniels. It's still September. We can talk about them not making a bowl game, and I don't think they will. But when you talk about the stadium project and all that kind of stuff, if you were just bail right away, I just think they're in a really crucial spot right now. They don't want to send that message yet.